This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community. It's Worldwide Wave. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard, a fabulous member of our news team, for bringing us the latest in local news. In the studio on the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, Stefan is here.
Good evening.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, hi.
And I'm Matt. Now, of the L, the G, the B, the T and the I, it's often the intersex members of our community who are least heard of and most misunderstood. That became brutally clear this week when a record-breaking South African athlete by the name of Caster Semenya was told by the highest court in athletics that she must take testosterone-reducing drugs if she wishes to continue running as a woman.
So how do you assess if someone is not female enough to run in a women's running race?
What are the grey areas of the court ruling that will ensure this issue does not go away quickly?
And is there an upside for the intersex community coming out of this incident and the publicity? Limbering up with us in the race, intersex people want to win. Tonight we're joined by Liesl Gernthals, who's Executive Director of Women's Rights at the Human Rights Watch. For a taste of where this issue might go, Caster Semenya gave her an interview after her race in Europe on Saturday to the BBC. Directly after winning the race, this is what she said.
Does it hurt you, what's happened this week with the IAAF?
No. Doesn't hurt me a lot. At the end of the day, we always say, confuse the enemy. If they're still celebrating, you keep doing what you do best. I'm a hard worker. I'll be working, they'll be relaxed. So that's the only thing I can say.
You posted some messages on social media this week.
Yes.
And people were wondering, have been asking me, is Caster going to retire? Is Caster going to keep going? What's the situation? But what was the meaning behind those messages?
How the hell am I going to retire when I'm 28? I'm still a young soul, man. I'm still young, I still feel young, I still feel energy. I still have 10 years, you know, mowing athletics. So it doesn't matter how I'm going to do it. What matters is how I'll still be here.
We would love you to be part of the show. If you would like to comment on the show, please send us an SMS on 0427JOY949. Send us an email in the studio to onair@joy.org.au.
And we are live on Facebook, that's W3JOY, for your questions or comments.
Mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's not
take us back.
That was Erasure with Run to the Sun. Yes, it takes us quite a while back.
Because we're running tonight. We're running with the South African athlete, Caster Semenya, and her challenges in the courts, the athletic courts. A message has come in. Hello, Tristan. Loved hearing from you. I'm loving the show, listening to you with a glass of wine and having a massage in my massage chair. Can I tell you, Tristan, we are so jealous. We have no wine. We have no massage chair. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Now, Stefan, yes? You saw something interesting in you can speak French and everything. And
a little bit,
saw
yes.
something that we didn't see.
I look at French news quite often, and a French humorist called Pierre Palmade, who used to be... He used to be quite closeted in the 90s, got married, and then came out as gay mid-2000s.
Threw the closet door off.
But yeah, he flew through. And I mean, yes. And he was interviewed in a show on TV, and for people that speak French, they can watch the video on the French news. But he stated that he makes a difference between homosexuals, or homos, as he says, and gays. And he said, and I translated that literally, I have two schemas. Gays are people that eat gay, live gay, love gay, speak gay, make gay movies. Homos are homosexual, but it's not written on their forehead. You don't know if they talk, live. You only know they're gay, they're homosexual in the bedroom.
So gays are the fun ones and homosexuals are the boring ones.
Yeah, we can take it. I don't know that he was saying, but so that's
Is that is he an older guy? It's like,
well,
is this generational?
Probably in his mid-50s, I would say. Not so he's old. Not that old.
What?
All at all. I think it's been quite a reaction on social media with people saying, you know, if you are able to be a homosexual now, it's because we are gay and we make the rights advanced, and that's why you were able to come out. Yeah. So there's a
I
lot
wonder,
of...
I wonder what our listeners think. Are you gay? Are you homosexual? What do you call yourself? And do you... like being classified in such a way? 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, the Caster Semenya case is all about how female Caster is. This all relates to sex verification in sports. It's been known with lots of different names over the years, and it has been going on for a long, long time. It's arisen at very many Olympic Games and other very elite sporting competitions. In fact, the first one goes back to July 1950 at the European Championships, when the world's track and field governing body undertook the first mandatory sex tests.
Now, I've just been reading this here, and you probably don't know that I'm actually trained as a geneticist, and this is this is one of the case studies of how we can get genetics so badly wrong. So what they were looking for here is whether these women who were competing had an X chromosome or had two X chromosomes, because that's what you would expect in most women. Of course, that's not what we see in every person that is a woman and is physically a woman. And so this was a terrible test to actually undertake, and they got it completely wrong. And I think the science, even in 2019, that's where we are now, isn't it? It's still a problem. So the science is always not definitive in these cases, and often we don't understand enough about the science.
And then you throw in the politics, because in the 60s, in the height of all the anti-Soviet, anti-communism angst that was going on, there were lots of suspicions that the best female athletes from the Soviet side were actually men. And there were a whole range of testing was introduced in 1968 again.
Yeah, there's a whole history in here.
And since then, the International Association of Athletics Federations did cease sex screening for all athletes in 1992, but... there's always this but they retained an option of assessing the sex of a participant should suspicions arise. What does that mean? They leave it quite open. Of course, those suspicions arose again just recently, and in fact Casta Semenya in 2009 was subjected to mandatory sex verification testing, and this was all about testosterone, which is sort of leading to where we are tonight and the ruling within the last week, which we are talking about.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Anyone who has seen or knows an elite athlete will know that they just want to compete and excel at their chosen sport. But the issue of people who are a little bit different and are perceived to gain an advantage through that difference has dogged athletics for decades. That continued this week when the Court of Arbitration for Sport ruled against South African runner Caster Semenya. Liesel Gernholtz is the Executive Director of Women's Rights at Human Rights Watch. We spoke to her and asked her to give us an overview of what has actually happened in the Caster Semenya case.
So I think people will probably remember that in 2018, I think in the early part of the year, the IAAF decided that they were going to introduce new rules. And these rules required female athletes with differences in sexual development. And very often these differences revolved around the fact that they were born with testes, to lower their testosterone if they wanted to compete internationally in two events. In events between the distances of 400 meters and a mile. And following that decision, Caster Semenya challenged that in the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is CAS. And that hearing went ahead in February this year. Her case was based on discrimination. And so the CAS released their judgment last week. And they basically dismissed her claim. They dismissed the challenge. And as you know, they have said that she will now need to take testosterone if she wants to compete in the 800 meters. So three judges reached the decision. I believe that the decision was it's not a unanimous vote. They upheld the dismissal by 2-1. And in essence, what they have found is that these regulations don't discriminate against Ms. Semenya.
Why does Human Rights Watch see this as a human rights issue?
Well, I think we certainly think that the requirements... So I think there's been a wealth of jurisprudence from key human rights bodies. So in March 2019, the United Nations Human Rights Council passed a resolution that noted that these regulations by the IAAF were not compatible with international human rights norms and standards, including the rights of women with differences of sex development. So the Human Rights Council also expressed concern at something that we have been deeply concerned about, and that's the absence of what we would see as legitimate and justifiable evidence for the regulations. The Human Rights Council, interestingly, also found that they didn't think that the solution that is being proposed by the IAAF regulations would achieve the aims that they were doing, which was to, you know, apparently regulate the level the playing fields. But, you know, that was obviously a key piece of jurisprudence. But we've also seen experts on health, torture and women's rights. They all wrote to the IAAF in October 2018. They said that these regulations will reinforce negative stereotypes and stigma that women in the targeted category face. They send a message that these women need to be fixed through medically unnecessary treatment. So I think there are a whole range of human rights arguments that we are concerned about. But what we are concerned about really in essence is that these regulations discriminate against women with intersex traits or variations. These are naturally occurring sex characteristics. They appear in up to nearly 2% of the population. And the vast majority of people born with these variations are healthy, and they shouldn't have to undergo medical treatment unless they decide that they want to alter their bodies. So, you know, for us, we think this is a clear-cut case of discrimination on the basis of a characteristic that people who have them are not able to control or to calibrate for.
This has really crystallised, hasn't it, where this has gone. That was Lisa Gernholz, who's Executive Director of Women's Rights at Human Rights Watch, and speaking about the Court of Arbitration in Sport ruling last week against the South African athlete Caster Semenya. Coming up, we find out the weaknesses and the confusion with this ruling, and this is World Wide Wave.
Our diverse communities have one home, joy.
Are you an LGBTIQ woman who has a problem with alcohol? Has it stopped you from achieving some of your goals? Listen to other women who have shared their story through the Rethink the Drink project to know you are not alone. Find out how they have helped themselves and how they have got through some hard times. Go to rethinkthedrink.org.au. Thorn Harbour Health, there for us. A proud Joy sponsor.
Melbourne, it's the event you've been waiting for, right in the heart of St Kilda. Saints on Sunday. A spectacular weekly queer night. Your weekly catch-up with friends and like-minded people. Expect the unexpected. Music, cabaret, art, and a lot of devilish fun. Don't miss the opening night. May the 26th from 6 p.m. till late. Saints on Sunday, St Hotel, St Kilda. Joy sponsor.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And lots of action on Facebook during the week with messages and comments, and some of the stories we actually led with at the top of the show. The execution of five men in Saudi Arabia got people on fire, saying Saudi is evil. These are the people we sell weapons to, Gavin says. Christopher says they're heading up the United Nations Human Rights Committee. What WTF? A lot of passion in that argument there as well. And that Troy Sivan story you mentioned, I think, Ian, was Jeffrey says Singapore is still very backward in so many ways. Yeah. So forward in shopping, in everything else? Yeah, not so much. Well, tonight we are talking running.
Yes, and we're interviewing Lisa Gernholz from the Human Rights Watch. That many athletes and commentators have already spoken out against the ruling of the Court of Arbitration for Sport in the Caster Semenya case. The court's judgment was not unanimous, and there appear to be many caveats around their decision, which we asked Leslie Gernholz from Human Rights Watch about.
The judges did seem to put a whole lot of caveats around their decision,
recognising that they were discriminatory, which is interesting.
Yeah. So they said that there was questionable evidence, that it would be difficult to implement and it could be deemed invalid in the future. They seem to be, whilst making a ruling, setting it up for a change.
It does appear to be the case that they themselves were ambivalent. I mean, as you say, they've expressed serious concerns about the practical application of the regulations. It's interesting that they have not only questioned the evidence with regard to whether the testosterone is going to, you know, is in fact something that is going to operate in the way that it wants, because it's not clear that there's in fact actual evidence that these women athletes do have an athletic advantage. So, you know, it's a very interesting judgment from that perspective. In my opinion, it's a deeply flawed judgment because, as you say, they question a whole range of issues, including the possible side effects of hormone treatment. They note that they want further assessment of these. So it's very interesting that they've chosen to go ahead. You know, it's almost as though they set themselves up for an appeal or for failure.
And that evidence base to this this sort of treatment, so they have said that the evidence is not clear on whether the testosterone-reducing drugs do what they say they do, but they've also said that the evidence is not clear on the side effects to the drugs. So what does this potentially mean for Caster Semenya?
Well, I think she's made her position very clear. She has said that she doesn't intend to take the drugs, and that she will continue to challenge the discriminatory ruling. It's not entirely clear how she's going to do that, because I think that the CAS is really the final ruling. So it's not okay, but she has said that she does not intend to take the drugs. She also raised, you know, I think she had a very powerful statement where she talked about being subjected to an unwarranted and invasive scrutiny of both her body and sort of intimate aspects of her life. So it's not clear what she's going to do. But, you know, at this point, the IAAF is going to attempt to stop women who have elevated levels of testosterone from competing in the events between 400 meters to a mile. It's not clear, you know, the judges have already flagged that this is going to be very difficult to implement. It's not clear whether they're going to require all women to be tested. You know, they had sort of similar rules in 2011 where they had found it really difficult to implement those rules. The 2018 rules are, in fact, pretty similar to the 2011 rules. And there, they sort of relied on, you know, things about, they were asking whether women had deep voices or whether they physically looked, you know, whether they weren't feminine in their physical appearance and so on. So, you know, it's really not clear at all how they're going to implement this. 2018 regulations, in fact, don't make any mention of how they're going to identify athletes to be tested. So, again, that's something that leaves the entire system wide open for abuse. So, you know, in many respects, this is a big mess because the court has issued a very ambivalent judgment that they clearly themselves don't fully agree with. The IAAF regulations don't talk about how they plan to implement this. They don't talk about the criteria. So it's really unclear how they're planning to implement this and how they will exclude women that they feel fall within these this very sort of vague criteria.
And the criteria is also very narrow. It's certain races, and they just happen to be all the races that Caster Semenya excels in.
Yes, well, Caster Semenya herself has pointed that out. So, yes.
The World Medical Association, of which the Australian Medical Association is a member, has warned doctors not to enforce this this ruling, this testosterone reduction therapy.
Yes, I saw that.
As it breaks ethical codes. In fact, I saw in one article it was called inverse doping.
Yes. Well, I mean, we know that for elite men, I think that most scientists agree that testosterone is a key factor as to why elite men are typically, they say, around 10 to 12% faster and stronger than women. But, you know, Semenya's team argued that women with high testosterone may not get the same performance benefits because obviously their bodies don't act in the same way as men's bodies. So it's not clear whether women's bodies convert testosterone into the same active form as for men. So there are many complexities about whether, in fact, she gets the benefit of her elevated levels of testosterone, whether, in fact, you know, this is a form of inverse doping. So lots and lots of grey areas.
Some people, the people who support the ruling, would say that this delivers a more level playing field. What, how would you counter that?
Well, you know, from my perspective, I think firstly, we don't have the evidence to show that, in fact, she does have the benefit. You know, the IAAF did publish some research that purported to show that elite women runners with high testosterone, you know, they perform as much as 3% better than women with lower levels. But that paper has been heavily criticized recently by a number of academics. And they say that about a third of the data in that paper was erroneous. So, I mean, firstly, that's a real problem because we don't know whether or not she actually had an advantage. So from my perspective, I think that given the lack of real evidence, given that this is a naturally, you know, I've seen some very interesting comparisons with, you know, the great Australian icon, one of your swimmers. Ian Thorpe, who, you know, he was very tall, he had very broad shoulders. They said the same thing about Michael Phelps, you know. So, you know, it seems to me that, you know, it's not as though she was doping. This is naturally occurring testosterone. It seems to me to be a clear form of discrimination against runners, you know, whose bodies are made in this way.
So it would be like saying to Ian Thorpe, you need to shorten your
feet
or something like that, or you're too tall.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's Liesl Gernthaltz from Human Rights Watch, unpacking, helping us to unpack this issue. It's got some layers to it, hasn't it?
It's got multiple layers to it, and I think that the intersex and sport issue, my experience has been, we covered a bit of this about a year ago when I was up in the Gold Coast with The Informer, and we covered a few LGBTI stories there for the Commonwealth Games. And it always seems a bit complicated, and you feel that people don't quite grasp what the story's about. I think what's happened in the last week, though, people see that this is very clearly about unfair discrimination. When someone was born a particular way and has dedicated their life to what they love, which is to run.
She hasn't altered herself. She hasn't.
Absolutely not.
You know, doing what she was born to do.
I think this is a really powerful how this story has been told, that people finally get it. Finally get that actually this is unfair discrimination. Of course, the result at the moment is not great.
Not everyone gets it.
No.
The court of arbitration gets it.
No, but I do feel from an advocacy point of view, this is something that many members of the public will see is clearly unfair.
I think the thing that disturbs me a bit about this is that you have these judges, these jurists, who there's no evidence that the athletes who have athletes with heightened testosterone have an advantage. There's no evidence of the side effects of the drugs they're making them take. There's no facts that they're making this judgment on. It seems to be very uncourt-like.
They're probably fairly ropey facts. I think there are some facts and there is some evidence. Evidence is always contested, isn't it, in these sort of cases. And people will say one thing or the other.
But even so, then there's bad laws or poor rulings because there's so many holes in it. It's then, even they're saying, well, this is a case of discrimination, but we're allowing it. You know, it's like they seem to be justifying their ruling through these very unjuristic ways.
One thing that I think that this does raise is the binary way, clearly the very simple binary way in which we've organised sports, whether they be competitive sports or sports more widely, more recreational sports, and that we've relied on that binary in sports for so long. And now there's an acceptance of what we've known for so long and growing evidence of that we're not necessarily binary in our sexual characteristics, that there is fluidity. And what happens in those cases, some people would say, and I've heard this said before, that either we should all compete together and we should have men and women competing in single races. And that does happen, you know, actually non-competitive sports. I was hearing from my dear old dad, who actually put me onto that Caster interview that we heard at the beginning of the show. And he is a coach for 800 metre runners for the same race that Caster runs in Scotland. And he was telling me at 80 years old as to how appalled he is and actually how Caster's being treated. But he was also telling me that he had one of his runners was actually going to compete last weekend in a mixed gender race. And the reason that they do that is that that's part of that it's actually quite common in athletics, but that's not what gets attention. So we are quite focused in our competitive sport in having either the men's race or the women's race. But what if actually there was a mixed race and we put people in who had similar abilities and we awarded prizes or medals, but we had competitive sport on a rather different basis? That would really throw things up. And the Court of Arbitration, the athletics bodies, obviously they are petrified that we would have some other model of sport that wasn't based upon simple binary that we've had for so long.
I think they're digging themselves a bit of a hole here too, because they've also, this ruling only relates to races for female athletes that operate between 400 metres and 1 mile, which is what, 1600 metres, isn't it? So Caster Semenya could either run in a men's race of 400 metres or 800 metres and that would be fine, or could run in a race of 2000 metres and that would be fine. But these, how do they come up with those figures? Why is it between those specific things? Is it just because they're the races that she's winning?
I think they're claiming there's some evidence for that. I mean, we would expect if you were an athlete nut or you knew an athlete nut or had a parent who was a particular expert in the area, they would tell you that as runners become older, that they tend to migrate to longer distances running anyway. So you would expect at some point in Casta's career for her to move up to the 1500 or to the 5000 metres. That would be a natural progression for her anyway in her running career.
And what about the inverse doping side of things? So we've for so long, the athletics industry and sport in general has fought to keep or to push drugs out of sport. And now they are making it compulsory for somebody to take not performance enhancing, but performance decreasing drugs, potentially. I'm not getting this one at all. I'm not seeing the rationale that would lead these judges to the decision.
I think it's abuse. I think it's abuse. And what's been really refreshing is that I tried to interview Casta when we were up at the Commonwealth Games last year, and she wasn't giving an interview really to anyone whatsoever. But in the last week or so, she has come out and she did an interview on BBC, she did another one on CNN, and she comes across so fantastically, and she's clearly not going to lie down and take this. She's come out and she's saying, I've had enough. I'm going to continue to run. I'm going to continue to do what I love, and I'm not going to take this abuse.
And in fact, our guest has noted that as well in a piece that's coming up here on Worldwide Wave. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the Worldwide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
It doesn't hurt me. Do you want to feel how it feels? Do you wanna know that it hurts me? Do you wanna hear about the deal I'm making you? It's you and me, and if I only could, I'd make a deal with God. I'd get him to swap our places. Been running out that road, running up that hill, running up that building. Ooh, you don't wanna hurt me. See how deep the bullet lies. I know where I'm tearing you asunder. There's a thunder in our hearts. It's you. It's you. Make a deal with God, I'd get him to swap our places. Been running up that road, been running up that hill, been running up that building. Been running up that road, running up that hill, running up that building. Yeah. It's you. It's you and me. It's you and me. And if I only could, I'd make a deal with God. I'd get him to swap our places. I'm running up that road, keep running up that hill, keep running up that building.
You're on Worldwide Wave. And that was Will Young with a cover of Kate Bush's song, Running Up That Hill.
And we are running right alongside Casta Semenya tonight as we talk this ruling from the the World Athletic Court of Arbitration. Tell you, there's some people running away from this too. So we mentioned in the interview the World Medical Association has said that doctors should not enact this ruling and give out the testosterone reducing drugs. There's a number that seem to be running away from the issue, though. The Australian Medical Association kind of palmed this off to another group, the Australasian College of Sports and Exercise Physicians. So they'll know the answer to that one. The IOC has sent it to a working group, and Athletics Australia issued a no comment. What's going on in Australia?
So there's not a lot of consensus around whether or not to. I mean, I guess if you're a medical practitioner, you shouldn't really give drugs that you don't know are going to be beneficial to the individual.
Well, that's right.
So therefore,
in fact, it's potentially detrimental, or they don't know the side effects.
They don't know
anyway.
Because some of the study that Lissel was talking about are inconclusive. So it's all a bit, and I'm a bit surprised that the AMA hasn't. It should, said something stronger than just refer it to the sports
exactly.
Physician
they should have a position. They should, they should be able to stake a claim in the ground and decide whether they stand beside the World Medical Association.
Yeah. Now, much of the hype around this story has centred on Caster Semenya herself, and we haven't heard much of her voice until recently. And we asked Liesl how she sees Caster as an individual.
I guess that I would just say that one can only sort of admire, I think, the grace with which Caster Semenya has dealt with this. As she has said, she's a woman who has an atypical testosterone level. She's been forced to undergo a humiliating medical examination. It's an examination which I think most medical professionals and scientists agree was medically unnecessary. I think she's going to continue to be subject to suspicion and public scrutiny. And I think, she's dealt with this in a way that has been very graceful, that has been very dignified. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
One of the interesting things I've noticed in the international media coverage is that the word intersex has been mentioned more than I have, I think, ever seen. Is this an opportunity? Is this a good thing to start to explain to people what intersex means?
Yes. I mean, I think one of the things that we hope will come out of this is a much better understanding of what these terms mean, of, how many people are affected by them and so on. So, yes, I do think that, one of the small benefits of all the publicity around this case has been, we hope, sort of a deeper understanding of what this means.
And like you, we will be watching this story as it progresses. Liesl Gernthaltz from Human Rights Watch, thank you very much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam Apple and Top from Apple Models in Thailand. The world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
Now, given that we are talking so much in the sporting arena, we should also mention, you may or may not have heard, the Israel Folau decision. Well, part decision has come out. So he has been found guilty of committing a high-level breach of the players' code of conduct. The decision on his punishment has not yet been made. I think we're hearing that it'll be later this week. That they will give out a decision on that. Now, this is another one of those things where I guess it's good to see the sporting code. This one seems to have a bit more strength behind it in terms of their decision. There was a warning. He then went outside of that. Da da da. A little bit. It doesn't seem as comparable to the Caster Semenya one.
Well, it seems the flip side, it seems completely the opposite, Matt, forgive me, because this is about not discriminating. This is about, opposing discrimination and standing up where we see discrimination and we see what is you know, many would say would be hate speech.
Been pleasing to see a number of rugby union players speaking out against Israel and saying, well, actually, no, that was wrong.
Yeah, yeah. But there has been a moment in that sport, it appears, where the sport generally is standing up and saying, no, we've had enough of this. I suppose the contrast to, or the pivot to Caster Semenya from what I think we've heard is that this has been a really important week for thinking about intersex and athletics and Caster Semenya, but that story's not done yet by a long way, and we would really hope there's another chapter of that story to come.
Well, I think Caster has given that assurance herself that she's not finished running, not finished fighting. So we'll keep an eye on this story as it goes along. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Liesl Gernthaltz, the Executive Director of Women's Rights at Human Rights Watch. You can find out about their good work at hrw.org.
The messages tonight from on Facebook, Michelle, Tim, Brett, Dylan, Yaz and heap more who've joined or interacted with us over the last week. You can follow us on W3 Joy on Facebook.
Behind the scenes, our podcaster Alex and the social media master Dean.
They do a great job. Dean actually does it from the other side of the world. Glad to still have him a part of our team. Look, Geeks Out is up next with Miranda Clayton and co. And so you can get your geek world on. They get all excited. It's, you know, great to see them in the studio bouncing around with their, you know, techno things. But we need some running music, I think, to take us on our way tonight.
We do. And we're finishing with Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, this is a bit of another flashback again.
Yes, a good Aussie band. Well done.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave. Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.